to this Leading with Excellence podcast featuring the 2024 District 6 School Business Official of the Year and Superintendent of the Randolph Southern Schools in Lynn, Indiana, Dr. Donnie Bousman. I'm your host, Dr. Jeff Butts, Executive Director of the Indiana Association of Public School Superintendents. This Leading with Excellence podcast allows our listeners to get to know the incredible individuals who are leading Indiana's traditional public schools with excellence and reminds us that our leaders are also our neighbors, friends, mentors, and lifelong learners. These authentic conversations help bridge the gap between the office of the superintendent and the amazing people in that seat. You know, superintendents are often seen as administrators who make big decisions about budgets, policies, or facilities. And although that is all true, this podcast shifts that perspective by hearing superintendents speak in their own voices about their community, school district, and personal stories. We'll discover the superintendent as a listener, learner, and servant leader. Someone whose leadership centers on vision, relationships, and a genuine care for people. Well, let's dive right in and learn more about our guest, Dr. Donnie Bousman. Welcome, Donnie.
Well, thank you. Appreciate you inviting me into
Absolutely. This, let's start off. I mentioned at the beginning in our introduction, you are the 2024 District 6 School Business Official of the Year. We know when we talk to our superintendents, there are two things that are right front of mind for them, the things that they are usually most concerned about. One is school board relations, and two is that budget side. Mm-hmm. Talk to me about your recognition as the School Business Official of the Year and how that came to be.
Well, I've been at Randolph Southern for 21 years, and 15 of those years I was I've been the superintendent. And when I first walked into that position, the first meeting I went to was a consolidation meeting.
Oh.
That between...
Ironic,
myself.
We're having those conversations today.
Yeah, it's everything runs in full cycle. And so I thought to myself, this isn't what I signed up for. And so one of the things that I did was I made my mind up that I was not going to be the superintendent that made the recommendation that we consolidate. Mm. My former superintendent, he had made that recommendation, and we actually sat down with the union in an open board meeting with two boards came to our school and went through, you know, the consolidation process. Uh-huh. And I had made my mind up that, you know, I can figure this out and we may have to rearrange some staff, share some staff. We've got to look at our bonds. We've got to look at, you know, what we have coming in. And, you know, it's taken a while. Uh-huh. But one of the things that you know at a small school like ourselves is you know where every penny's at.
Yeah.
And you know where it's hidden. And so we make the most of our dollars. You know, interestingly enough, I mean, we owe a total of $600,000 right now. We have a 59-cent tax rate.
Less than some people's homes.
Yeah. And and we're going to do a bond next year that it's about a $2 million bond to do some improvements in the school corporation. But, you know, I told our board, I said, if we don't redo another bond, I said, we're going to pay off every debt we owe. Mm. And so it's taken, I mean, honestly, you have to literally get into the weeds. Uh-huh. and really understand the budget and, you know, health insurance is astronomical, but we went with a model of high deductible mm-hmm. health care years ago.
Out of necessity, right?
Yeah,
I mean, it was just one of those things that we had to do to take care of the benefit side.
Yeah, and you know, and interestingly, we give our staff about $2,800 per year in an HSA contribution.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
And they're like, that's the first thing they lobby for mm-hmm. when it comes to, you know, negotiations.
If they let that sit, that can benefit them in retirement.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you know, so it's... We've come up with some strategies that we feel like, you know, the high deductible, it lets them become a consumer. Mm-hmm. I mean, just the other day, I had some blood work done, and it was $1,400.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, I could have went to my clinic, and it wouldn't have been free, but it would have been a lot cheaper than going to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me rethink some things.
Sure.
Because it's my money.
Right.
I mean, you got to pay your first $3,500 out before they're ever going to spend mm-hmm. anything on you.
Mm-hmm.
So that, again, we've done some things that I feel like over the past 15 years that have really put us into a great position.
We've talked about a little bit about your district, and you've talked a little bit about Randolph County, but tell us more about Randolph Southern.
Well, we are located, basically, you go straight east on I-70 and get to Richmond. You turn left, and you're up 15 miles, and you're in the middle of Randolph Southern District. We're right on the Ohio border. And so we can't go east to expand our horizons with district enrollment, but a lot of farm ground. Most recently, windmills and solar farms. Mm. And it's heavily aspect that's brought in revenue for us as a district, but also for the county. There was some political, some farmers are traditional farmers and they didn't want to see that going on. Yeah. But
it's also a huge revenue stream for those that allowed those windmills and the turbines and their turbines and all those come onto their property.
Absolutely. And that's so they've got, like I said, there's a line. The division. You can almost draw a line and see where the people that are tradition, because that's where the windmills stop or the solar fields stop. But what we get out of it, we don't really, they cut us a deal in 2013 where we got revenue that we had lost through operations. But now we get really that rate of the windmill or solar farm rate as a business rather than just a farm ground. Mm-hmm. So it's we're getting a little bit more money that. The interestingly, our tax assessment or AV has went through the roof, but I've been capped at 4%. And I spoke to J.D. Prescott, and I spoke to, to Scott Alexander and Jeff Ross, and I said, hey, folks, listen, we've got to do something about this. I said, my district is growing. The AV is growing. Mm-hmm. And obviously, they're trying to fix that problem now.
Right, right.
But I said, I didn't get any of that, any of those funds. I wouldn't have to rob from the education account at all if I could get the full revenue. It grew by 26%, and I was only able to capture 4% of that.
Wow.
And there's 22% of that out there. And we went from maybe $220 million to $360 million,
And overall AV.
Yeah. And in a matter of maybe 5 years, because of all of the – if you go there, I mean, it's literally solar and wind farms.
Isn't it interesting? And we've talked a lot about that operations and business side of what we do as superintendents. And I think there's a misunderstanding that that's a significant part of being a superintendent. In addition to – focusing on academics for our children. So when you think about the future for the students in Randolph Southern, what are you excited about?
Well, we've been doing very well academically. We finished up a great year with iRead. We were just recognized at the State House with Katie Jenner, being part of that iRead of 95%.
Big celebration at the State House, recognizing all those students who and school districts that had great success, very high pass rates. For iRead, which is we know the benchmark on helping making sure students are on track and that they are able to be proficient in their reading at third grade.
Well, and interestingly enough, so I was the elementary principal before I became the superintendent. So we'd set up a response to intervention program up down there, and it's really paid off dividends. That excites me. It excites me that we're in this position. You have to know where you're standing. And if you can't read the tea leaves of what we're looking at on consolidation here in the next couple of years, that's what's I think is going to come down the pike, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But what I feel like what excites me is that we're in a great financial position. We're putting out an academic product that's just excellent. I mean, we're at the top of the county in iRead and iLearn's test scores and graduation rate. We're either competing or at the top or second place. So those things right there, and we provide so many opportunities for our kids that we go to the Richmond Area Career Center, but we're also part of RAS 32, which is part of Randolph County, and then we have some career paths too. I mean, our little high school offers seven AP classes just at our little high school that we have. And that's probably more than most schools can offer. And, for us to do that, it means we've got to look at that master schedule because we're under one facility. We've got to share staff. Mm-hmm. And that's another thing, too, is being able to financially get this and then give kids what they need. That's what excites me is that I've been able to literally watch a child enroll, hand them their sixth grade diploma, and then hand them their 12th grade diploma when they graduate from high school. Mm-hmm. In a 21-year span, I've been able to do that a few times. And so it's really great to be able to do that. That's what excites me.
When you want to get away, when you want to just be Donnie and don't want to be the superintendent of Randolph Southern, where do you go? What do you do to escape?
Well, you know, when I was in high school, I played a lot of sports. I didn't play golf. But I picked up golf when I got out of high school, and so a lot of people would be frustrated with golf. But for me, it's my oasis. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm out there. I've got Mother Nature, my friends that I play with, and you know, you're playing against a course. Mm-hmm. The course doesn't change. Mm-hmm. Nature might change. You might be a little, you know, but it allows me to turn my cell phone off, mm-hmm. to be out there by myself for 4 hours. My grandson loves to play too. So we go out and we just have a great time. Mm-hmm. That's my escape path, mm-hmm. you know, and I just, it's something, it's a passion that I really enjoy. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't because it, you know, it can be frustrating, mm-hmm. but for me, it's my getaway. You know, it keeps me active physically. Because I like to walk too.
Sure.
You know, a lot of people say, well, you're going to ride in a cart. Well, not me. I like to walk and like to enjoy the whole time, mm-hmm. you know, and I will get text. I'll get, you know, emailed. I mean, you know, this job's 24/7. Mm-hmm. And on the weekends, I've been called by school board members right in the middle of a round. And, mm-hmm. you know, hey, can I get back with you in about 2 hours? You know, so, you know, that's what I try to get away from that. And obviously spending time with my wife, mm-hmm. You know, she recently retired and she had a business, a jewelry store for 30 plus years. And sold out a couple years ago. And, you know, so now we try to spend some time together.
Good for you.
Yeah.
For those people who don't know you, we sometimes use this prompt when we're talking at meetings and starting things off. If you knew me well, you would know. How would you respond to that for people who you might want to let them know a little bit about who you are and what you believe in?
Yeah, I'm a pretty honest person, very transparent. You know, my former boss, Mike Necessary, said, You're too honest. I said, what do you mean by that? I thought that's the way it's supposed to, that's the way I was raised, you know. And, you know, unfortunately in this position, you know, it feels like cat and mouse a lot of times. Mm-hmm. And that's probably, you know, if people really know me, they know I'm passionate. Mm-hmm. They know I care. They know I'm going to voice my opinion. Sometimes I do need to probably not talk and listen a little bit more. But I've also found, too, that in this position, if you're not willing to speak up, if you're not Scott Turney, do you remember Scott?
I do.
Who was the Indiana Small Rural Schools mm-hmm. Executive Director for years. He told me one time, he said, you know, if you're not at the table, you're on the menu. Mm-hmm. And so I took that, and I thought, wow, that is a great statement. Mm-hmm. And so when I got involved with the Indiana Small Rural Schools, I was president for 5 years. I was on the executive board for 10. And, you know, I made my mind up that the only people that's going to represent your district is you. Uh-huh. So I try to, you know, what I want to do is I want people to think of me as somebody they can trust and uh-huh. depend upon. I strive for excellence. It's hard to achieve. Uh-huh. It really is. But they know that when my door is going to be open and you can come in and speak with me, and a parent, teacher, whatever, you may not like what – you know what?
Right.
How things turn out at the end, but I'm gonna listen, and I'm going to try to make a decision that's in the best interest of our students and our school corporation. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's not in the best interest of that parent, or maybe the teacher,
or at least they don't know it at the time.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. So yeah,
a perfect segue. You mentioned striving for excellence, and the name of this podcast is Leading with Excellence. When you think about what that means to you, especially in the context of public education, what does leading with excellence look like?
Again, I think you got to get out there. I don't know if there's any particular thing that I would put my thumb on. Leading in excellence means doing the right thing mm-hmm. right the first time. Mm-hmm. I used to work for UPS part-time when I got out of high school, and that was their motto, do it right the first time, you know, mm-hmm. and so you're not doing things over and over again. But leading with excellence to me, you know, like for example, I feel like that there are times when I've had to get involved with things at the state level side, and just most recently, the CCDF, CCDF, and on my way pre-K,
yeah.
I reached out to Scott Alexander and said, Scott, we got a problem here. I said, I'm a small school superintendent. I'm doing all the paperwork for this, and I said, we take care of 5-year-olds to 12-year-olds, or 18-year-olds all day long.
Yeah,
why am I going through a bureaucratic system with the federal and the state when, why can't we just go ahead and have 3-year-olds and 5-year-olds and not go through this? Scott wrote a bill.
Yeah.
And him and I met, and we talked and discussed it. And I talked to Rob Morehouse, and Rob was heavily involved too. And we got a waiver for our schools, K through 12 schools. And I got involved. And leading in excellence meant, getting involved in the back channels, because what you see on that bill that comes through is not necessarily, it's all the things that went before it. And back in 16, had a girl that was severe and profound. Mm-hmm. She was Down syndrome. She got a certificate diploma, and I looked at our graduation rate, and it knocked us down 2%. Mm. And I'm like, what is going on here? So I got with Jeff Rotz, and I said, Jeff, we got to do something here. Mm-hmm. And I said, we got a problem here. I said, this little girl met her IEP, and she met the standards that we set up. Mm-hmm. We've been doing it for her entire life. And I said, but yet it doesn't count. And most recently, it took quite a few years because I filed an appeal with the State Board of Education, went in front of all of them, and when Glenda Ritz was
state superintendent. Yes.
And I got up there and spoke, and next thing I know, Glenda's meeting with me, and her attorney's meeting with me after the meeting, said, hey, what can we do? And I'm thinking, well, when I filed that appeal, we could, but it took a few years before a certificate of diploma finally came across as a counting measure. Mm-hmm. So, to me, leading in excellence is getting out there and putting yourself out there and understanding what comes with that too. Mm-hmm. not everyone wants to be that position. And, but I also look at it like this, and maybe I'm a little different, probably non-traditional, but these folks we elect work for us. Mm-hmm. It's not the other way around. Mm-hmm. And, you got to be careful with that too. But to me, they're in the same position you're in. They are wanting what's best for our kids and our schools, I think. Mm-hmm. And, and they're not down in the weeds like we are. So,
yeah. Love that, Donnie. Thank you for being my guest.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, our guest has been the superintendent of the Randolph Southern Schools, Donnie Bousman. Donnie's story reinforces that excellence is a journey, not a title. We hope today's conversation helped you see the heart behind the role of the superintendent. Today's conversation reminds us that leadership is not only about decisions, it's about people, passion, and purpose. This has been another episode of the Leading with Excellence podcast from the Indiana Association of Public School Superintendents.